Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to First Brethren this morning. We are glad you are here. We have a special service. Team Jamaica is taking over. We wanted to, first of all, say thank you so much for your prayers, your support of us. We had an excellent week, and we wanted to say good morning in the way that they say it in Jamaica. We learned some new ways to greet each other, and when we were in this school Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, we would start out each morning by saying, good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Wow. Did you get that? Let's try that again. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, I'm stressed out a little bit, actually. Thanks for asking.
Good morning. I'm Caleb. So I'm going to be teaching you a little bit about some different phrases that we learned there that are very common. They do speak English, but they also have some extra words and phrases. But before I do that, just in case you were wondering, my hair is braided. I got cornrows there just to get the full experience, but it is coming out tonight. So the first phrase is yaman. Can you say that? Yaman.
Yaman.
It just means yes. So instead of saying yes to a question, you would just say yaman. So I'll ask you a few questions, and then you can just say yaman. So are you excited to be at church this morning?
Yaman.
Do you like my hair?
Yaman.
There we go. Okay, the next one. The next phrase is airiman.
Airiman.
Yeah, so that just means I'm good. So if I were to ask you, how are you?
Airiman.
Good. So I'm good, airiman. And the last one is no problem, man. That one's pretty easy to know what it means. You're just no problem. And they just say that quite a bit.
All right, well, I'm Ethan. And lastly this morning, before we greet each other, me and Caleb are going to demonstrate a handshake that we learned down there that means what's up. So basically, first find a buddy or a partner beside you so that you can do this. So, all right, so you're going to join hands, and you're going to slide it up, and then come together. And then with your thumbs, you're going to snap in opposite directions. So you just said, what's up, in Jamaica. So this morning for our greeting time, we're going to greet each other Jamaican style.
We want to share with you just snapshots and impacts from this week. So before the students begin to do that, I want to just kind of give you a quick overview of what we did throughout our week so you have an idea of when they refer to different things, what we're talking about. So we flew in on Saturday, didn't do much besides sweat and play soccer. Sunday we went to church there in a little place that was actually the hometown of Usain Bolt, who, if he had been there, I was going to race him. But he chose, I think he heard I was coming. Anyway, so we had church there, and then after that we had just kind of like some children activities in the afternoon with the kids at the church. Then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday mornings, we were actually invited, allowed to be in a school and just basically take over their classroom for the whole morning. And so we did a VBS during that time, and they'll talk about that. And then Monday afternoon, we went back to the church and we helped to put up a fence around the back of their property because they needed that secured. And then Tuesday afternoon, we went to an infirmary, which is kind of like an older person's home, but really these were all older people who their families could not take care of them. They had disabilities. Some of them were completely bedridden. Some of them could speak, some of them couldn't speak, things like that. So some mental handicaps, some physical handicaps. And then Wednesday, we went to a children's home, which most of the children were 20, 30, 40, 60 years old. But these were just, again, individuals that basically they were there for life. Families could not take care of them. They were more severely mentally, physically handicapped. It was just a I don't know, was probably the highlight for a lot of us. Thursday was a beach day, and it was a good day. Pastor Kurt mentioned in the first service that, you know, we had to plan out this trip, obviously, ahead of time, and we had talked as a team about Thursday. Do we want to spend some of our time Thursday back at the school, have one last time with them, which would really, really cut into our beach time because of how long it takes you to get anywhere in Jamaica? Or do we want to just have what every other group does? They just have all of Thursdays of beach day. So he had asked a couple students about that on Thursday, like, now that we know, would you, if we were doing this again, would you choose to go back to the school? And a lot of them said, well, all the ones he talked to said, we definitely would have chosen the school over just relaxing and being tourists. But that was Thursday, and then we flew back Friday. So you kind of have an idea as they talk about infirmary, the children's home, what they're talking about.
My name is Emma Burlingame, and I noticed an extraordinary kindness while we were there, and it was the young children, and it was all of the adults, and it just gave me so much courage to be able to talk to them, and I don't really like going up and talking to people. I don't know. If they talk to me first, that's fine, but this made me comfortable to be able to go up and talk to them, and God gave me so much courage, too, to go and do things that maybe I was nervous about or didn't know what to expect, and I just felt so comfortable in Jamaica and in the community we were in, and I had an incredible time, and I really hope to have this experience again.
Good morning. My name is Rita Hacker. On this trip, it was a little bit different. I got to be the one of the adults, kind of had to be. I'm looking at it from a different point this time, but we were given before we went a from Pelican Missions, Praying Pelican Missions, a booklet that had devotions in it daily, that was talking about, it's from Nehemiah. So I'm just going to share a little something from that and then some other stuff. So our team, all of our team names, we worked with all of our heart this week. Every one of them did. All of these kids did. It took all of us to build our wall. It talks about building a wall there in Nehemiah. And just like in there, it also talks about the insults of the people building the wall, that they were given insults. So some of our insults this week, I guess you could say, would have been heat, different food, different smells, bumpy rides, no AC, sweating places that one never realized sweats. And then another one of our other insults, or your normal bodily functions not working for days, which a couple of our team members got to experience that. I was one of them, and Matt Howard is not here today, so he's being thrown under the bus. So anyways, but this gave us a great opportunity. We got to meet the local pharmacist. So I would say Iriman, because it's all good. Even though with all those things, it was still all good. So first of all, I just would like to say thank you to our church family for the support and the prayers for this week. You guys made that happen for us, and we appreciate that. Some of my favorite moments from this week was worshiping with the locals on Sunday, worshiping in their style, which is just a little bit different from ours. We have everything planned out to a T pretty much on Sunday mornings, and theirs is just, it happens in whatever fashion. Another one of my exciting times was visiting the children's home. As Tim alluded to, it's the one with the disability, mentally and physically handicapped children / adults. I sat down and started coloring with some of the people around, and one little guy, or I'm not sure how old he was, but a teenager probably, was over just kind of watching me, and I slowly got him to come over. He would not talk to me. Found out later he's an autistic child. And so, he would sit down and color with me. And when he was done with his coloring page, he tapped on the table and just gently slid the paper over to me, and it was my gift from him. So that's one of my treasures I have back home from him. I also, in this same facility, got a manicure by a lady, Shakira. She painted my nails, and they're lovely. Another one was watching our kids, our teens, sang the song Reckless Love on Sunday morning, and then watching them share the gospel to the school-age children on Wednesday afternoon. And then one of my treasures was watching my own Addie. Last service, I cried, so I'm not going to this time. I'm just not. So watching my own Addie join in without hesitation and watching her heart break for others with no complaining of the surroundings. In fact, she told me a lot of times, just go with it, Mom. So she had to keep me in check a few times. And then another one was in sharing a moment with, Tim mentioned the infirmary. It was, the day we went there, Shannon and I got to sit with a lady and sing a song, just talk with her about just different stuff. Her name's Rona. And I have never been told this. Like, you know, when you say you're done with your conversation, you usually say, okay, see you later. I'll talk to you later. But Rona said to me, see you in the rapture. That's what Rona said to me. And I said, yes, yes, you will, Rona. So my takeaway from this week was to be more watchful and alert for moments to share Christ by being more present with others.
Hi, I'm Carson. Like Rita talked about, she got to watch Addie interact with people throughout the week. And it was amazing for her. And so for me, I got to experience this with my dad and to watch him interact with people and to kind of go into and like see a glimpse of like my world was really cool for me. So my family doesn't really participate in church activities. So him kind of volunteering to come with me on this trip was amazing. And I was kind of shocked at first that he even wanted to be a part of this. But being there with him all week and seeing him interact with all the kids, and he's really tall, so the kids loved hanging all over him. But seeing him just being loving and kind and respectful to so many different people was just amazing for me to see. And the love that our team members gave to him, knowing that he was with us and he didn't really necessarily believe what we believed, but everyone showed him so much kindness and love and went out of their way to talk to him. So I just want to tell you guys thanks. But experiencing it with him was amazing, and just experiencing the trip was amazing too with all my friends, and being able to interact with the kids and just see them, and they're so joyful. And in their classrooms, like, we have smart boards and we have all these projectors and things in our classrooms. Every classroom at MES has one. And seeing these kids just have a chalkboard and a whiteboard and then just so colorful in there with all these posters. But seeing like that they're still learning and they're still singing about God and God's love, and it was amazing. And so kind of just seeing them and how, you know, like hearing the stories from the girls who were with us, the like people who worked there, they were in their 20s, and hearing how they grew up and how they lived and just their lifestyles and how much different it is than how we grew up and how we live and the places we live. Just hearing how our differences and how we still come together and we still love the same awesome God was just amazing for me to hear. And hearing how God's been working in people's lives and the kids' lives and the older people's lives was just fantastic, and I think it was amazing.
I'm Maddie, and for me, my absolute favorite part was just meeting all the people there and how joyful and happy they are and that they live in every moment. And I feel like a lot of times in the United States, we just, like, we're always wanting the next thing, waiting for the next thing to happen. And I feel like they're just, like, in the moment. And so it was kind of cool in the week to just be in the moment instead of, oh, what's happening next? And also, they're just, a lot of them don't have a lot. And so it was really cool to see, like, even though they need more, they are happy with whatever we have, and a lot of times we want more rather than need more, and we're not happy. So that's something that I'm going to take with me.
Hi, I'm Taylor. A few things stood out to me this week. One of them was when we went to the infirmary on Tuesday. I had went to the women's wing with my group and walked back to this woman who was sitting up in her bed. Her name was Clara Brown, I believe, and she was really, really happy and kind, really outgoing. She wanted us to pray for her, or she wanted us to sing and hold her hand and hug her. And she had asked one of our leaders there if she could pray for us, and he said yes. So we held her hand, and she prayed for us. I couldn't understand very well what she was saying. She was really praying to God. She had her head up, speaking really loudly, getting her message out. But I couldn't understand super well, so I was just thinking in my head while she was praying, like, this woman is praying for us, and she's the one that can't even leave her bed. And that just really, like, touched my heart, because I was like, we should be the ones praying for her, but she wants to pray for us. Yeah, so that was a big one for me this week. And then also when we went to the children's home, I was holding a woman named Judy. I was holding her hand, and she was walking around. And then this fight started to happen between two of the patients there, and Judy wanted to go see it. And that scared me. I didn't want to be around a fight. So she grabs my hand, pulls me over there, and I was like, Judy, I don't know if we should be over here. Like, we should probably give them some space, but she was not moving. She was watching quietly and respectfully. And it just kind of scared me, because these two patients were pretty aggressive with each other. And I didn't want to be there. I was, like, afraid. So I kept telling Judy, I was like, it's fine. We're going to be okay. And the thing was is that she wasn't scared. She wasn't nervous. I was the one that was nervous, and I think I was trying to reassure myself through her. And I just noticed that, and I feel like God has given me a lot of courage this week, especially speaking right now. You can ask the other team members. I didn't speak at all throughout the entire week. So this is a big step, and I'm just proud of myself, and I feel like God is proud of me, too.
Hi, guys. I'm Madison. last service, I shared something different, but I kind of feel like God's telling me I should share something else. Something that I guess I kind of forgot about, which I don't even know how, was, like, this week, I think something that kind of stuck in my head was, I never thought that I would be, like, praising God for people that don't have anything, because that sounds weird. Like, we wouldn't want people to live that way. But after this week, like, I'm really thankful that some people didn't have that much, because when they were happy with what they did have. And I think that that's something, like, we all do. Like, we just don't realize how much we do have. And, like, seeing that, it just helped me to be more thankful for, like, everything I do have, because, like, I've been someone who, like, I have really low self-confidence, so sometimes it's harder for me to, like, I, like, always want new things to, like, make me feel better about myself, but then I saw, like, they can just be happy being themselves, and I just really liked that, and, like, I just thought it was cool to see how everybody's hearts, like, how God broke everybody's hearts for those people, and through that, we were able to, be more thankful for the things that we have. And one of my favorite things, I hope I don't cry. I didn't cry last service, but I have a feeling I will. But I went to the children's home, and I met this boy. He was with Maddie, and he was holding her hand. And I went over to go see him. And he instantly, like, grabbed my hand, and he wanted me to walk around with him. So Maddie left, and she went with this other boy that Carson was with. And he started walking around, and he just took my hands, and he put them on his shoulder, and he just held them there. And we just walked around for a while, and I just, like, I don't know, I just really liked that. And it was really cool to get to meet those people and how happy he was. Like, he just was so excited about everything, and I just loved that. And on the way home, I was at the airport, and I always like to get like a sweatshirt or something when I go somewhere because I love sweatshirts. And I saw this one and it said Jamaica on it, and then at the top it said easy living, and then on the bottom it said paradise. And I instantly just thought to myself, I was like, I'm not gonna buy that sweatshirt because it's not easy living and it's not a paradise. And I don't think people understand that. And so like seeing that boy was so excited, just hold my hand. And sorry. I was like, what Amy had said last service was like, why does God let people suffer? But it was through that I was able to realize that to them it is a paradise and that they're still happy for every day that they get. So I was really excited though, because that boy, he gave me a lot of hope. And I felt like that boy gave me a stronger love for God. And I was really excited about that, so.
Hi, I'm Jalen. And this week, one thing I really learned a lot about was like love and God, how God has love for all of us. So we were at the infirmary on Tuesday, and we were all just sitting on these two benches, singing some worship song to some of the men there. And one of the men asked us to sing Jesus Loves Us to him, or Jesus Loves You, I guess. And it just hit me then, because I hadn't heard that song in such a long time. And as I just looked at everyone, it's just like God loves them even when they're at our weakest. He loves us all the same. He loves us when we're able to go out and serve like we are, or if we're stuck at home, he loves us everywhere we're at. And so he just looking out and seeing all of those men and all of those people, I just felt God's love there and I felt his presence there. And then on Wednesday when we went to Children's Home, I went in to one of the like rooms, and there are some people that are bedridden, and this lady I went up to, she can't talk. She could barely move around in her bed herself, but I just sat down right next to her and I just sang her Jesus Loves You, just to remind her how much God loves you, and how much that like he cares for all of us, and that like there's you never can hear that enough. So I just wanted to sing that to her. And then one of my favorite things that we did there was the VBS. I was blessed to be with a bunch of awesome, like 21 third graders with Ethan and Shannon. And it's just the tight bond that you get with them after just 3 days was just, I can't even explain it. They just come up and they give you hugs all the time. They want to, I would walk them like to go get drinks from their drinking fountain thing. And they would just want to be with you. And they just love on you, and you just love on them back. And so the hardest thing that I had to do while I was there was say goodbye. So, yeah.
So my name is Ethan Calloway, and one of my favorite parts of the week was getting to know this other team from South Carolina. So I've never been on a mission trip where you went with another team that you don't know or is from somewhere else normally. And so the first couple days we weren't together, we didn't really talk much between the two groups of us. But then it was about, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday that some of us went and ate breakfast with them. And then it was like ever since then, the group just opened up and we were all one big family. And I guess that's kind of been the theme for me this week, is just being a family on mission with other missionaries, just being one big family. And that theme kind of even lived out. Us guys, we did devotions every morning together, and it was just kind of cool to be with them and learn from them and hear what God had to say for us for the day. But
my name is Matthias, and the coolest part for me was probably the love that the kids had for us. They only knew us 3 days, but they loved us so much. And there, we had a girl in our class that wrote us a note our last day there, and she was just saying that she loved us and that she wanted us to tell the boss man to have us stay 2 more days. And then another day at the church, we were there to build a fence, and some of the kids from the church showed up, and they like wanted to help us throw stuff in a burn pile, but we were there to help them, but they still wanted to help us. I thought that was really neat.
My name is Ethan, and going into this week, I thought for certain that my favorite moment would probably be something related to the kids or from the VBS, but God had different plans. And so Tuesday afternoon, we went to the infirmary, and at first, I was a little uneasy, a little uncertain, because, you know, it's a different environment than we're usually accustomed to. And so at first, there was just a group of us that went over, and we were kind of singing some songs to these guys, and just seeing the joy on their faces just by hearing some simple songs just blew me away. And then a little later on, as we kind of got a little more comfortable, we split off into individuals or pairs. And during that time, I got to meet a man named Clark. And so we hit it off right away, and kind of got talking about, you know, where we're from, you know, what's your climate like, you know, what, you know, where are you from, what do you eat, and stuff like that, casual conversation. And a little later on, we kind of moved into the spiritual things, and that part of our conversation just really struck me, because one thing he had to say to me was sometimes he felt that he wasn't as loved by Jesus as I was, or as Matthias was, or somebody like that, because he was black and I was white, and he felt like Jesus was a white man. And so that gave me just a really good opportunity to speak some truth and tell him, you know, it doesn't matter what color we are, or where we come from, what our background is, Jesus wants each and every one of us to be in his family, and so I got to extend that to him at that time.
Hi, I'm Matt. It was a really, really good week, as you can see from the pictures and what you've heard so far. One of the questions was, you know, we were being asked, you know, why are you here? What did you get out of this? And this morning, God's just kind of placing on my heart an image of a nest and a little bird in a nest getting ready to spread its wings and come out of that nest for the first time. And that's what I got to experience this week with our kids. You know, I'm around students all the time, I teach, and so this particular trip was a little more challenging for me. I'm kind of every mission trip I've been on, this is my fourth one, have been project-oriented. We've done some sort of project, built something. I'm kind of a results type guy, and teaching full-time is kind of like in the summer, it's just like, okay, I need to be away from that a little bit. And so God stuck me in a sixth grade classroom for 3 days. And I'm not going to lie, there was anxiety buildup. I mean, I didn't know what it's like to be in a classroom and to have a guest speaker or somebody come in and take over your classroom, and how that can create chaos and just changes everything around. But God used our kids this week to fly. I like to sit back and watch, and I saw kids come out of their comfort zone, and I saw them share God's love, and I got the opportunity. I've taught for 23 years in public schools and never been able to take the Bible into the classroom and say and read from Scripture and share, and what an awesome, wonderful privilege it was. So God's kind of speaking to me that we're seed planters. You know, it's not all about, you know, the results. It's not all about seeing a finished product, because we won't always see that. But I got to look at our kids. And this trip was different for me because as a parent, I went with my daughter. And I can speak for several of the parents. It was really special to be able to go on a mission trip with your children and to just see them grow up. When, you know, your mind is, they're the little daughter, and she's over there hiding from me, so, but got to see my own daughter just grow up and just say, okay, you know, she's, God's got this and God's got her. And so just an honor for me and a privilege for me to be able to go and share and be able to share God's love in a setting that's just different. So.
All right. I think one of my favorite experiences from the trip is how God revealed himself to me. I'd say the past 6 months, ever since coming back from Malawi, I've really been wrestling with God and, just asking God. Like, I was struggling with believing that he was really who he said he was, because I just experienced a lot of extreme suffering and things that didn't really match up with what I've always believed. So I spent a lot of time saying, God, I don't, like, help me believe that you really are who you say you are. And before leaving, I think he had given me peace about who he is without, like, understanding completely why things happen, why there's suffering, why there's, just bad things. And so he had given me that peace, and I was a little bit nervous before going to Jamaica because I was thinking, like, okay, is my faith still on rocky soil? Like, am I gonna have to start re-wrestling with God? But I think God kind of gave me a gift of just saying, like, okay, Amy, you see, I am here. I am good. I am loving. And, like, he revealed himself to me in ways through people, through his creation. And so it was really reassuring and, I think just a gift that he gave me with just showing me that he also is who he says he is.
Okay, one thing for me is that when I went, I was really struggling with loving myself and believing that I could be loved. And God really showed me this week that I can be loved and that I can love myself and that it's okay to love myself. And he showed me this through a little third grade boy who was in our sixth grade class the first day because his teacher wasn't there. And I went over and I just helped him with the craft. And then from that day on, he was at my side whenever he could. And it really made me realize that if a third grade boy from a different country who's known me for not even a full 24 hours can love me, then the people who have known me basically my entire life can love me, that maybe I can love myself as well.
I'm Sydney McLaughlin, and I was in the fifth grade class with Tim, Ethan Calloway, Taylor, and I, and we had about 4 girls and 18 boys. So I'm sure you all can imagine what a group full of fifth grade boys is like. Right off the bat, they were flirting with Taylor and I relentlessly. Probably all of them asked for our numbers by the end of the week, and there were 2 boys fighting during a game because, like, one of them said he won and the other kid took whatever they were doing. It was the head, shoulders, knees cup game. So I was holding my phone because I was taking pictures, so I put my arms in between them, and one of the boys was like, I won, he took the cup from me, oh, can I have your number? So then after that, the fight was over, and they were cool with each other again. So that part I loved because they were so bold. They would tell us that they loved us, all of us. They showed love to us right off the bat. They weren't shy. They just said whatever they were thinking. And I really admired that from them. We also went to the children's home on Wednesday, and that was the thing that made me the most nervous. It was really out of my comfort zone, and we showed up, and I'm kind of freaking out. I was just kind of standing by myself, and then a woman walks up to me and grabs a nail polish, and she just looks at me, and she says, come. So I follow her over to a picnic table, and she puts her leg up on the table, and I painted her toenails. When I finished, she took the nail polish, she looked at me, and she left. So I never knew her name, and I never talked to her at all that day other than that. But as soon as I had finished with that, I was more comfortable being there, and I really enjoyed it. I was holding hands by the end with an older woman. I was holding a boy in my other arm, and then there were two girls that would just follow me around the whole time we were there. And then the fight that Taylor mentioned earlier, there was a man holding my right or left hand, and I walked up to the fight with the two girls behind me, and this woman just reached out and held my hand, and I didn't know who she was. And then there was another woman that was crying, and she stood up and kicked the girl that was holding my hand. And I didn't know that she was involved, but so I was trying to hold her hand and like get my girls out of the way. But everyone was just watching the fight, and a few of the other patients, residents there, would come up and try to calm them down. So they all worked as a family together. They all tried to protect each other and help each other. So I really admired that from them as well. I was very blessed to be able to go to the children's home, and God showed me that I can do a lot of things that I didn't think I could before this trip.
Okay. My name is Addie, and this week, dang it. Everyone in Jamaica is just always so happy, and they don't have a lot, but they're just always so happy, and that was really cool to see. I mean, sometimes here we have so much, but we don't realize we have so much, and so when we don't get what we want or we don't have what we want, we're just so, like, upset or ungrateful for it. But everyone there is so grateful for what they have. So, yeah.
I just want to say it was really awesome getting my hair done. It, like, took 3 days. not the whole entire day, but it was just super cool. This girl in our, with the whole Pelicans group, she did my hair, and she's like a really cool person. There's like one night where we stayed up late doing my hair, and it took a lot longer than usual because they were just going crazy, and we got to just like get to know them like so much more, and like we just got to see like this other side of them other than like they're like church side. It was just super cool, and we laughed so much, and like we couldn't stop laughing. I mean, even though it took longer, I like loved the moment, and just, I mean, we would talk about some spiritual stuff, but then like some funny stuff, and it was just all so cool, just being able to spend time together, just like we all like worship the same God, and we like have, like, because of that, we were able to come together and have such a great time. But one of the most moving moments for me was the infirmary. Me and Caleb, we went to this lady, and we spent a lot of time talking with her, and we just got to, like, learn a lot about her. She is turning 31 Tuesday. She has a 6-year-old daughter that visits her about every Saturday. She's a very, very cool person, and it was so cool because I was very nervous. This lady that works in the infirmary, in the beginning when she came to talk to us, I'm like not even listening to what she had to say because I was so nervous. But like after that moment, I just saw God moving, and it was super cool. And like we would ask a few questions, and then like it would kind of be like silence for a little bit, and then she would ask us a question, and it would just keep going. Like we'd have like super amazing conversations, and like she never wanted us to like stop talking to her, and we didn't really want to leave because like I just didn't expect I could really enjoy this moment. He asked her what was her best part of her life, and she said, walking. At that moment, I started to tear up, and she asked me if I was crying, and I said no. I didn't want her to see me cry. I didn't know how that would affect her. But it was just crazy, like her answer. We don't think about walking, and I just, she's so young. She has a daughter, and I just couldn't believe. And then we sang to her. She wanted us to sing, so my dad and all three of us together, we sang, and we were trying to figure out what songs she would know. And so we would start singing these songs, and there was also this like lady beside us, and we would sing a song, and they would know the song, so like they would sing it with us, and some of them they didn't know, but the songs they knew, or they'll be like, oh, that's a good song, I love that song. And so we prayed for them, and I said a few sentences, and I like couldn't finish, and I felt bad because I wanted to pray for her, so Caleb finished. But it was just such an amazing moment to see how God changed me so fast, and such a nervous moment. He just gave me a lot of courage, and so VBS was very awesome. The kids, it's a public school. They sang Christian music, they sang about God, they sang positive songs. They knew who they were and God, and they just had this route where they're learning about Him, and they understand God and everything. And I just thought, like, that is so awesome. When they're older, they get to choose if they want to be with Him or not, and make their own decisions. But they have this where they can live with, they understand who He is, and be able to make their decisions with God's help. And yeah.
I'm Caleb. I also really liked the experience with the Belton I had at the infirmary. It was just crazy to see this 30-year-old with all these other people that were much older than her. And like, she's in the same condition as them, and just asking her, like, what's the best part of your life? It was just like a simple question, like just expecting, like, oh, seeing my daughter or something like that. But she said, when I used to be able to walk. And it's just like, wow, like, we take that for granted. We walk all the time, everywhere, and we even complain about having to walk. And this lady is saying, yeah, the best part of my life is when I used to be able to do this, but now I can't. I just lay in my bed. But something that I learned from that experience is that there's power in sharing our story with people, and there's power in listening to other people's story. And also the power of prayer. Praying with people and for people is just really, it's a good thing to do, and we need to do it more often. And there's also, I think that crying is a form of love, and I think that that was just really cool that Beltu and I got to experience that together. Another thing that I learned at the schools is that we can learn a lot from kids. And so we were around like 100 kids for those 3 days, and it was just really cool to spend time with them. And just, they loved us so much, and we loved them, and it was easy to love them. I was in the first grade classroom, and one of the cool things was that whenever we were just sitting and making a craft or coloring or something, the room was like kind of quiet, like everyone was just like really focused on what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, all the kids like in unison will just start singing or saying these chants or rhymes that they have, and they just say it all together, and it was just really cool to listen to. And sometimes we would like catch on to what they were saying, and we would say it with them. But one of the things that they would say is, hey, black child, do you know who you are, who you really are? And I just like that, because they do know who they are, who they really are, and like, they live in that way. They live in light of knowing that they are children of God and they're loved, and they love each other and they love us and they love the people around them in the same way that Jesus loves them. And so that's something that I learned from them. So that was just a really cool experience there. Then my most interesting experience happened at the children's home. Toby and I were walking around, and we were trying to find someone to interact with. We had already interacted with two or three other people, but then we were like, okay, like, who's next, God? Who do you want us to interact with? We were just walking, and I saw this boy, and he was sitting on this bench. He was probably 5, 6, 7 years old, and he was just sitting by himself on the bench, and so we sat down beside him, on each side of him. And actually, I think there was a picture of it on the slideshow, but anyway. So we sat on both sides of him, and I was planning, like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to go, I'm going to sit with this kid, I'm going to talk to him, find out what his name is, and we're just going to talk, and then maybe we'll go play. So I had it planned, what our interaction would be, and then I sat down and quickly realized that he can't speak. And so then there goes the idea of talking to him. We talked to him. I don't know if he understood, but he couldn't respond back. He just made some sounds. But so then that idea was out the window. And then I also noticed that he was tied to the bench. So then we're like, well, we can't go play with him either. So quickly, God changed the direction of our interaction. And I just kind of realized, like, we don't have to plan how to love someone. We just go and do it, and it just has to be real. But so I was trying to quickly think, like, okay, what can I do to interact with this person, this little boy, if I can't play with him and I can't talk to him like all the other kids like to do? And before I could come up with something, the little boy started spitting on us. He, for some reason, really enjoyed that. I don't know how he even created that much saliva to continue to do it. But he spit on us for like the whole 20 minutes we were with him. It was pretty relentless, but he just kept spitting on us. He would spit on me for a while, then turn, look at Toby, and spit on him. And he would just grab my head and just pull my hair as much as he wanted. And then he would look at Toby and pull his hair. And then he would pull both of our hair. Then he would hit me in the face and then hit Toby in the face. And then take both hands and hit me on both sides of the face and then do the same to Toby. And it was pretty painful, just kind of beating us up. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to sit here and let this kid beat me up. If that's the way that he's going to love on me, then I'm just going to let it happen. So we just sat there for a while, and I was like, okay, we need to do something to interact with him. And at one point, I just kind of stood up, like, maybe he's hurting us because he doesn't want to be with us. But then he, like, quickly grabbed my hand and pulled me back down. Like, he wanted us to be with him. And so I was like, oh, I know what I can do. I can tickle him. So I started to tickle him, and then Toby did the same. And he was really ticklish, and he would just laugh and laugh, and he loved it. And then we, since he likes hitting so much, we taught him to clap and, like, to hit our hands too. So, like, we'd put our hand out, and he would hit ours, and then we'd teach him to clap. And he loved that, and he would just laugh and laugh and clap. Then Carson came, and she joined us, and she did the same. She tickled him, and he clapped. He didn't beat her up or pull her hair. But it was just really, it was a fun experience, and I think I learned a lot from it. Not right away, but later that evening, I realized that God was teaching me to love people in a different way than usual. He was teaching me to love people that maybe are harder to love. The kids at the school, it was so easy to love them, because right when we got off the bus, they just instantly loved you, and then it's easy to love someone when they love you first. But Jesus was teaching me that he loved people that were hard to love really well, and he wanted me to be able to do the same. He showed me that in our lives, there are always going to be people that beat us up. There are always going to be people that spit on us, people that pull our hair, get under our skin, and really even hurt us physically and emotionally as well. And those are the people that God is calling me to love right now, because Jesus loved those people really well, and he wants me to love them too.
My name's Toby. The only thing I really have to add to what Caleb said is I've never been so happy while being spat upon. So.
Thank you for your patience with us this morning. I'm just going to read one thing in closing. You may be wondering why we have the word pelican on our shirt. The Praying Pelican Missions is the organization that we went through. The pelican is their symbol. And here's what they write about the pelican. When you begin to genuinely follow Jesus, your life changes. Everything you thought you knew is reoriented. As you begin to look at your community through his eyes, your priorities shift. Living the pelican life is based on a very powerful metaphor, portraying the sacrificial life of Jesus and inspiring us to do the same. Legend has it that in times of famine, the mother pelican would peck at her own flesh to feed her babies. Effectively, she is willing to endure pain and ultimately sacrifice herself to ensure her young have the opportunity to live. It's a gruesome image, but the parallel to our Christian faith is incredible. Jesus came to earth during a time when most of the world was spiritually bankrupt. In fact, the Jews, God's chosen people, hadn't heard from God in more than 400 years. And during that time, they had been conquered and reconquered multiple times. Jesus quite literally stepped into this culture with one purpose: to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our souls during our time of spiritual famine. Like a mother pelican, Jesus put his own body through immense pain and sacrifice to give us our best chance at life. We are living in a remarkable time in which we have the opportunity to freely engage God. It's a time of spiritual abundance during which our souls no longer have to receive a rationing of God's life-giving presence. The pelican life is about recognizing the sacrifice Jesus made for us and returning the favor by pouring ourselves out to those who have yet to drink from his well. It is about following his leading and allowing him to dispense his power through us. Living the pelican life begins when you take stock in your own community. The challenge for the team as they return, and the challenge for us as we listen to them, is to follow the life of the pelican mom, to give of ourselves as Christ gave to us. Going really isn't as difficult as it is returning or staying. The challenge for the team is really just beginning. And you, being hearers of their story, are also challenged. Challenged to step out of the places where you are most comfortable, to love the people that are most difficult, to share boldly a faith that could transform the lives of those that we come in contact with. The pelican says, "I will give of my very self so that someone else has the chance to live." May it be said of us as we go here, even this week, to give of ourselves in the way that could give someone else a chance to live. To live eternally. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we want what you want for us today. We want what you want for us this week. May we be pelicans in this community, giving of ourselves as you so graciously gave of yourself on our behalf. Thank you for the stories and the testimonies of lives changed already. May they be just a few of the many from this place that will be changed as we let you teach us to walk in this world, being your hands, your feet, your heart. May this experience not fade off, but may it intensify and start a spiritual awakening in this church and this community in the name of Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. See you next week.